Well, now, welcome on the call, the head coach of the New Hampshire Wildcats, Rick Santos. Good morning, Rick.
Good morning, Rob.
Good morning. Congratulations to you and your team, Granite Bowl champions, with that 24-7 win over Dartmouth on Saturday night. What did you like about the way your guys played?
I thought we played hard. We know anytime going against the Big Green that it's going to be a four-quarter battle, and it certainly was that. They're extremely well coached on both sides of the ball. You know, they always seem to make an impact on special teams as well. They got after us early in the game. You know, the elements were certainly a factor with wind gusts of, you know, 30 to 40. So basically whichever team was going into the wind struggled to move the ball the entire game. So it was a field possession battle, kind of a game of attrition. We found a way to ultimately make more plays than they did. I thought defensively we hung in there, played spirited, elite effort. Those guys were relentless all night on that side of the ball, did a great job holding them to about 315 yards of offense, created two turnovers, you know, did a really good job in the pass game defending those guys as well. So proud of that effort. You know, early in the game, we missed some tackles, but I thought it was a really good job by Garrett Gillick, our defense coordinator, getting our guys settled down at halftime. You know, we did a good job kind of winning, you know, the second quarter and then ultimately finished the game. I think we were 10-0 in the second quarter and then 14-7 in the fourth. So finding a way to kind of close the half out and close the game out ultimately was the deciding factor.
Yeah, I was going to start with the defense because after the – even though it's an FBS opponent.
Calm down, Cammy.
Obviously, the things didn't go as well as you'd want at Central Michigan. How much – from a confidence perspective and everything to be able to hold Dartmouth to 7, and maybe if it's not for the one big pass play, it might've been a shutout.
Yeah. I think that was the challenging thing all week, was trying to figure out, you know, obviously it was Dartmouth's first game, right? So trying to figure out what type of offensive scheme they were going to do. You know, they have two vastly different quarterbacks, you know, Nick Howard being the big bruising runner and Dylan Caldwell, they're being the drop back passer. So we had to have two distinctive game plans in before we could get a feel for exactly how they were trying to attack us. And again, I think that's why I was so impressive at halftime, some of the adjustments that we made on the defense side of the ball to get our guys locked in. But testament to defense staff and really, you know, our student athletes all week in preparation, you know, they had a lot of extra things that we threw on their plate. That's probably as much of, you know, schematically as deep of a game plan as we have to get into, because we weren't quite sure what they were going to do. So proud of those guys and their preparation, how they handled themselves, you know, how much film they watched during the week, and ultimately were able to execute on game day.
Got several questions for you. The first from Kevin Trestolini. Good morning, Kev.
Hey, Rob. Thanks very much. Hey, Ricky, how similar are what you and Delaware do offensively, obviously based on your background and Coach Carty's background? What's it going to be like, you know, to match with him, and how does that kind of make this a more challenging endeavor for you, you know, when you guys, I'm sure, both kind of think alike and scheme plays alike?
Well, first, I have all the utmost respect for Ryan. I learned a tremendous amount of football from him in the 3 years that we had together. Brilliant coach all around, not just football mind, great leader, great motivator. He was a huge part of our success and all the time that he was here. So I can't thank him enough for kind of how I was able to develop under his tutelage. You know, our offense has changed the last couple of years, and we were spread up tempo for numerous years, including when he was here. You know, but the last year and a half, 2 years, really into last offseason, and then continuing to build upon it this year, we're a little more pro style, a little more 12 personnel stuff as we have been in the past, you know. So there's definitely some similarities in the drop back passing game and some things that we've kept over, because I just think, again, he's so innovative, and there's some great things that I think have to stay in your offense. And then we've certainly changed in our own right. So I'm just excited for this opportunity for our guys. I'm excited to kind of catch up with him and Sean Golder, some of the other guys that we know quite well. And it's going to be a great battle.
Thanks, Ricky. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Kev.
Your next question from Dan Steenhammer. Good morning, Dan.
Morning, Rob. Thank you. Coach Santos, when you do get down to Newark on Saturday, you know, each team will have a running back who's really high up in the conference in terms of rushing yards per game. Dylan with you guys and Marcus Yarns has reeled off a few big runs for Delaware. I guess I should start by asking what concerns you about as you look at Marcus, you know, kind of what he brings to the table, but also, you know, what excites you about, you know, each team kind of having a ground game? Because I know you and Coach Carty maybe are associated with passing, but each team seems to have a really strong running game as well. Thank you.
Yeah, Marcus, he's a complete package. He's strong at the point of attack. I think the one thing is evident, he has really good vision. So he knows when to kind of be patient, wait for his blockers, but then he only needs a little bit of a crease and he has a home run threat, you know, so he has top end speed, short range, quickness and elusiveness. And then they've always had big, massive, kind of physically imposing offensive linemen. That's kind of been a staple of Delaware over the years, and nothing's changed, you know, based on the tape watching that yesterday. So they're definitely going to lean on those guys up front. And then when you have a back with that type of vision, obviously that's why they're putting up these huge numbers already.
Next question from Kyle Kinsey. Good morning, Kyle.
Good morning, Rob. Coach, I wanted to ask about Joe Eichmann. A pick in each of the first two games, and then last week he's getting in the backfield and leading the team in tackles. And from your perspective, what's made Joe so successful and such an integral part of the defense through his first three games?
Well, first, you love guys like that. You know, New Hampshire native, came in as a walk-on, or, you know, earned his way up, full scholarship kind of. He's a guy's guy. Everyone loves him. He works his tail off. I think his preparation is kind of what has separated him this year from years past. He's really bought into it. He understands, you know, that this is his last go at it. He's really making the most of it right now. So does a great job in practice, making sure that he understands the offensive intent. And then he just has a cool, calm demeanor about him on game day, which is neat. The moment's not too big for him. He wants to be the reason why we have success on the defensive side of the ball. You know, and we always kind of say ball finds energy. And he's one of those guys that's always positive, does the right things, and just finds a way to have that ball hawking mentality. So hopefully he can keep it up.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Rick, I want to switch back to the offense. You guys went into that game, I think you were number one in the country in passing at about 400 yards a game. And then you get a situation, as you mentioned, with the high winds, and Max can only throw for 67. And you have to go to a different type of style in the long run. Now that you look back, is that something that might be positive down the road to be able to win in a different way?
Yeah, and I got to give Dartmouth a lot of credit. It wasn't just the elements. That was certainly challenging for sure, but those guys are a bend but don't break operation. They put a net around the ball. They do a really good job in coverage. They're so well coached on that side of the ball. So give them credit. But, yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where when we realized we weren't moving the ball through the air like we had hoped, we really leaned on the guys up front. You know, it was a great job by the offensive line when you were in kind of those obvious run situations as that game was playing out. That they just kind of hunkered down, and it was, you know, there wasn't too many explosive plays on the ground, but there was a ton of 4, 5, 6, 7 yard just efficient runs to help us move the chains. And I think, you know, we were able to win the time of possession battle in a game like that. That was absolutely necessary for us to come away with the win. So huge credit to the guys up front. I think the guys on the perimeter, that's one of those games as a receiver and tight end, it's probably a little bit frustrating when you're not able to get the aerial game going a little bit, but nobody sulked, nobody made it about themselves. They block with a purpose. They were relentless competitors on the edge as well. So that was great to see.
Yeah, follow up from Kevin. Go ahead, Kev.
Hey, Rick, I know you got to stay firmly in the present, you know, when you're preparing to play Delaware down here, but do your own individual experiences and the successes you had as a player from your trips down here, do they kind of come into any of your pregame discussions with your team leading up to the game?
Well, I mean, one thing, you know, I'm going to definitely kind of harp on these guys is that it's one of the greatest FCS venues in all of the country. Loyal fan base, great supporters. It's loud in there. It's one of those things that if you don't kind of grab some momentum early in the game, the crowd noise can truly be a factor. And you got to give their whole administration, everybody that they've had there over the years, kind of their fans are awesome. They're spirited. It's an awesome place to play. So that's what I'm just going to kind of let our guys know, that we have to be ready for the crowd noise. It's certainly going to be a factor, in particular when they make plays. So we got to do a great job early in this game, trying to grab some momentum, and just understand that it's going to be a fist fight.
Thanks, Rick. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Kev.
All right, before I let you go, some individual efforts, and you kind of touched on them in your opening comments, but Max Oxendine had that big interception that set up the final score, and then Randall Harris with a blocked field goal and a pick. Maybe just talk about how big momentum-changing plays those were.
Yeah, that was huge for us. You know, special teams has been something we've been harping a lot the last few years, and it's definitely paying off right now. So, you know, Randall Harris making plays on defense and on special teams, got a great jump on that kick, bend across the edge and laid out, you know, fully extended to make that kick, which was huge. You know, that really gave us the momentum after we got stopped on the offensive side of the ball. And then on defense, yeah, again, you know, both of those interceptions were kind of going into the wind. They did a really good job disguising those coverages coming off the half. You know, Randall high pointed that and also had an explosive return of 20 or 30 yards as well. So those hidden yards that we got from those two plays, his interception and Max's, right, were key plays in those games, and ultimately was why our defense was so successful.
And maybe one more defensively, a lot of new faces on that Delaware defense from a unit that was among the tops in the country a year ago, but they've still been pretty good. What do you see from that defense and some of the new guys they've inserted?
Yeah, I mean, I think their defense coordinator, Manny Rojas, is as good as anybody in the country. When you have that three high shell, they can do a variety of different things. So first and foremost, they disguise coverages as good as anybody. It's impressive that they can stop the run in their odd front, you know, with only three guys with their hand in the dirt. Their second level guys are really, really physical. Dylan Traynor's been doing it at a high level for a long period of time. Chase McGowan is a war daddy in there. He's very physical at the point of attack. So extremely well coached. They're relentless. They run to the ball and they, you know, they wreak havoc. You know, I think they were top five in three or four different statistical categories last year, regardless of who they lost. Doesn't look like they've missed a beat. If not, they might be better right now. And they do a great job creating turnovers. So ball security has to be at the top of our mind this week.
All right, Rick, thanks so much for your time this morning. As always, safe travels to Newark, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Rob. Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you.